Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hello, fuckers. How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina.
And
what's going on in the news, Corinne?
Today's news article is, oh man, this is a good one. Sorry, I forgot that I was doing this first. This is Bethany Frankel shares NSFW, and that's not safe for work if you're not up with the cool kids lingo, theory about Pete Davidson's penis. I said it amid Kate Beckinsale romance rumors. So there's probably more info on this now because this is a couple weeks late, but we just, it's hilarious. And it's also a story from Fox News because, you know, Fox News always covering those hard hitting topics. So Bethany Frankel, if you guys don't know who she is, she's a Real Housewife.
Skinny Girl Margarita.
Oh my God. I actually do love her product.
It's really good.
Yeah, because there's way too much sugar in cocktails, but you want the fun of a Cosmopolitan,
but not the hips.
Okay. Bethany Frankel has, you know, it's like there are some parts of basic bitch culture that I do like to appropriate.
You know what? Yeah. I'm not proud of it, but yeah.
And there's,
Maybe it's in me.
The thing is, it's just variations of a basic bitch anyway, because it's like, yeah, even if you're a goth girl, you're just a basic bitch goth girl.
Right, you know, if you actually
look at it, the people who are doing, like, everyone does the same thing. No one's that unique.
That's true.
Okay. Bethany Frankel has some not safe for work thoughts about Pete Davidson now that it seems he's romantically connected to actress Kate Beckinsale. FYI, Kate's 45. Fuck yeah, Kate Beckinsale.
She's so hot.
As previously reported, Davidson and Beckinsale first sparked dating rumors after they reportedly left a Golden Globes party together after acting flirty all evening. They were spotted again over the weekend, so that'll be like 2 weekends ago, while leaving a comedy club in Los Angeles.
Oh.
Ooh, sexy. Prompting many to believe the duo are in the midst of a rebound fling after Davidson's highly public split from Ariana Grande.
Oh, shit.
Her songs have gotten worse, if that makes you feel better, Pete.
It might make him feel better.
The two were engaged for months before they broke things off. The Real Housewives star took to Twitter on Super Bowl Sunday to share his her raunchy theory about why Davidson is able to attract such lovely and talented women. Aww. So Pete Davidson was engaged to the sexy and talented Ariana Grande and is now dating the beyond stunning Kate Beckinsale. She's really trying to feed into that older woman thing. We see you, Bethany.
Kate is beyond.
We see you and we like it. So I guess it's clear that he shoots diamonds out of his penis. And she needs a writer.
We're for hire.
Frankel peppered in some compliments about the SNL star in a follow-up tweet after a fan asked how these women keep falling for him before doubling down on her penis theory. He is probably nice and funny and sensitive, which women like. Cute and sweet, she wrote, and a diamond D doesn't hurt, I reckon.
A diamond dick. Diamond dick.
Mm-hmm. She wrote D though, because she's a classy Real Housewife.
She's a lady.
She's like, I get drunk on boats. I don't say dick on
she's
Twitter.
She's old money and earned money, so she's.
Oddly enough, this isn't the first time that Davidson's endowment downstairs has been the subject of public conversation. While they were dating, Grande made a comment about his penis, which he jokingly brought up during a stand-up show in New York. I don't like that she talked about all this shit for my penis. Everything is huge to her. Why should she tell everyone that I have a
really
huge
funny
penis so that every girl who sees my dick for the rest of my life is disappointed? And that's why
Pete is such a good stand-up.
That's why you can't stop fucking comedians.
I know. They come at you with these witty retorts and you're like, fucking, I hate that I like that.
You haven't showered in weeks and you forgot my birthday, but goddamn was that funny.
I'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I was wondering, like, I don't usually give a shit about celebrity gossip, even when it involves Beyonce, because I'm like, whatever, just let her fucking live her life. I'm not interested in, like, trying to understand certain things about her personal life, because we'll never fucking know, and she's Jesus and get over it.
But we can keep trying and stay up and find out, is Avril Lavigne dead? Is that the real Avril Lavigne?
And there's industries founded on that very theory. But yeah, I was thinking about, because, you know, I would do shows at, like, The Stand with Pete would be on when he was, like, 19 and stuff before he was at SNL. And he was, everybody in the comedy community always regarded him as, like, a really fucking talented motherfucker.
Yeah.
He's so young. It's like,
he
this guy
heat forever.
Yeah, since day one. Well-earned heat. And now he's packing the heat in between his legs and his giant dong. But but I'm like, man, he's got to date. Whoever he dates after that, that's got to be...
I liked him with Cassie David, and then after that, I was just like, "You're spiraling now."
Yeah,
because like, you know, that felt right.
Yeah, but I'm like, what the fuck do I know? I make bad choices.
If you Google enough, you can figure yourself out. Pete's very nice and very funny. Not my type, but you know what? Whatever.
I always thought he was really cute. I remember I was gonna.
Sure, I'm not his type either.
But yeah, whatever. Have fun, whatever you're doing.
Be well.
Wear rubber.
Be well.
And you know, do whatever you want.
Come see us live.
Please, Indianapolis. We're going to be at Helium Comedy Club Thursday, April 18th to Saturday, April 20th. Yes, that's 420. Yes, I will smoke weed anyway. I'll smoke weed all the time. So it's going to be great. Go to sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com/tours for all other info. Tomorrow, if you're in New York City, Glamour Puss is happening, my birthday show. It's probably gonna be sold out, to be honest. I'm not trying to brag, that's just what happens when we do Glamour Puss. So 7:30 p.m. we will have some door tickets available starting at 7 p.m. For $20 cash, but those go fast, so be 21 and up and have $20 and you could probably come. It'll be fun.
And if you're in Los Angeles, February 25th, that's a Monday, as I've been saying, 4 weeks. And again, we're just recording a bunch of intros in one day. That's why I don't have information. I will be performing somewhere in Los Angeles. I think there's going to be multiple shows. I'm not sure. But again, this is an important one. I would love you guys to come out. And I haven't performed in Los Angeles in a while, since like last spring, I guess.
Yeah.
So please hold that night and head to my social media at Philanthropy Gal to figure that out. For other social media, it's Sorry About Last Night, or SRY About Last NYT on Twitter. And Christina is at
Christina Hutch.
And it's important to follow all those, because if you're ever like, oh, if you're like not up to date with episodes, or if you miss a week, or if we announce something kind of last minute, that's all happening on social media, because we can't always record the podcast is, you know, close to the release date as we want to.
Yeah, because sometimes we gotta fly.
And then also Two Less Lonely Girls, as always, out on Mondays, co-hosted by me and Rosebud Baker. We're going more conspiracy theory now, guys. Nice. Old Hollywood, you know, dead people haunting you, things that you might not know about, Illuminati.
I love ghosts.
That's the kind of things I'm interested in, so that's what we're gonna do.
Yay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up, and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love, and we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/guys.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
personal shit. One thing I wanted to say, I'm saying it a little later than I wanted to, but that's okay. Because I feel like it doesn't matter when the message goes out, because it's already been happening. I talked a couple weeks, maybe a month or two ago, I don't fucking know, about the sex club incident with Steven. And I was angry, and it did feel good to actually be honest about the anger and just work through the guilt of talking badly about a person that was a huge part of my life. And just talking bad about people just doesn't make me feel good, and I have an anxiety around it. But this thing has been happening where listeners, and look, I know we decided to make this all public, so that's our bed to lion or something, whatever the mm-hmm. fucking phrase is. But
I think there's still some confusion and people don't understand
that we're humans.
Yeah, they don't understand, like, they don't understand that we're humans. So they're treating us like large scale celebrities in sometimes the good
I
ways.
I ain't no Kate Beckinsale.
But in sometimes the bad ways in that they don't, I'm like, we're still running our own Instagrams. Like we see these things.
Yeah. But they'll message. And this happened a while ago. I don't know if it's still happening now by the time this episode gets released. I hope it's not. But some listeners will message Steven, tweet at him, whatever, and then send me screenshots of these messages. And you guys, I don't want to see that. I do not want to see that shit. I blocked him on all my social media just because it's painful to see. And because he was a big part of my life. He was like my fifth limb, you know? And that's not an easy thing to just drop. But I know for me... it's what I personally need to do. And I know that you might not mean any malice out of it, but like, stay out of it. Can you imagine being a person whose life got put in public and then you're hearing back from a breakup that if you're still experiencing pain from, you're just hearing these strangers who you don't know and don't know you message you about something I say. I know I have no control of other people's actions, but please don't do that. You're not helping anything. In fact, you're making it worse. And I'm able to compartmentalize that and realize, you know what? That's par for the course of doing this. But he didn't ask for that. And just don't send me screenshots of conversations you have with him. Just don't. Just do. There's so many other things you could do with your time. You could volunteer at an animal shelter. You could be a big brother or a big sister. You could take a walk to your local park and maybe clean up some trash, put in the trash can. You know, there's just a lot of things you could do. You can watch Friends from College on Netflix. It's a great show. If you're flying on a Delta plane or a United plane, you can watch Far From the Tree. That's a great documentary that I just discovered. Do something else with your time. Because you're not helping. Thank you.
I think it's the meddling is always interesting, and I
just wish I knew where it came from. It's just feeling important that you're making a difference, but you're making a worse difference.
I think it's because they feel like they're friends with you in real life, and that's awesome to be able to do that. But I also I think sometimes. You know, because we've talked so many times about like, we kind of like don't want to know like in how in real life, like if something is bad happening, like we probably don't want to know about it.
Yeah.
Because you have to think like, is this something that is going to put you in immediate danger? Like it's, you know, Steven,
is it need to know information?
Yeah. And 99% of the time it's not need to know information. And so it's just a little bit strange because like even you as like my friend in real life, I've seen things or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I know this will not be helpful.
Yeah.
And because people do the same, my friends in real life do the same thing to me. They're like, oh yeah, this person said this. I'm like, now I'm angry at that person and I didn't need
and
to
for
be.
What?
I didn't need to be because I just never would have known and I could go through life, you know, walking taking the high road.
Yeah. Because you don't need to adjust your actions. All it's going to do is put a wrench in the gears.
Yeah. Well, even a couple weeks ago, after an episode, actually after the Justin Silver episode, and I think I had a cold on that episode, so my voice was extra. But even so, it doesn't matter. This is my voice, and this is if you don't like it, I mean, well, you're 5 years too late on this.
Yeah.
People literally get in like online voice fights about my voice. People
really?
Either I get a lot of DMs being like, "Oh, your voice makes me horny," and then a lot of are just like, "Your voice is like nails down a chalkboard." I'm like,
I don't either way.
Like my personality, you either love it or hate it. So even my voice is following suit. Like whatever, we don't need to. And someone wrote a comment on the Sorry About Last Night Instagram, and it was just unnecessarily rude. And so I think I was in a mood where I was just clapping back at everyone because sometimes you know if I'm like waiting for a seamless order and I can't start a new project, that's my project. Yeah. So welcome to hell, everyone.
And it's a writing exercise.
And then people started ganging up on her, of course, which is sweet. But I don't need you don't need to push someone to the brink of suicide because they said something about my voice.
Like, ganging up on people doesn't usually.
There's
help.
A fine line, whatever. But anyway,
it's
so
like R. Kelly, or
and she just you know kind of was egging it on, and I was like, wow, like you have. Deep issues. So I just screenshotted it all and blinked out everyone's names except for her because she was like so adamant that she could take the heat, and I knew very well she couldn't.
Yeah. It's not easy.
And I put it in my Instagram story kind of just because I was like, I feel like this person is strong enough to handle this lesson, and sometimes you need to make an example out of everyone, and then we can put the kibosh on this.
Yes. A lot of celebrities do that
once and
for
all.
I support.
And so I did it, and then I kind of followed it up with like a little bit of like a number on an article from Psychology Today about why are women so mean to each other, and a good book recommendation from a fucker about like the female psychology of being mean to other women and how to get past it, kind of like from a very like high level educational stance. And so for these things, like, and by the end of the day, let me tell you, she had gotten hit with so much that she finally realized what it must like to be someone in the public eye.
That is a valuable lesson.
And because I truly think, and that's the problem why we're so insensitive to celebrities. And I've always felt this way long before I was in the public eye. But that's just because I feel really attached to celebrity and the notion of it. And I'm extremely interested in it. So I've done a lot of reading about both what it means to be a celebrity and about, you know, books by celebrities, just because I'm fascinated by what it means. And so she posted, honestly, like, I did learn a lot.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes like shame does have its place. Cause I was like, sorry to make you the Paris Hilton. Like, you know, when everyone was getting DUIs and then only Paris Hilton got sent to jail.
Yeah.
And she was like, wah, wah. And the judge was like, I'm making an example of you because like this shit has to stop. And that's when people are fucking dying.
Right.
So, that's why I did that. And I wanted to be very careful about who I did that to, because I certainly don't want to do it to someone who's like so tender that it's going to cause them to like break down. And thankfully my intuition led me to the right person.
Yeah,
but it's just because I really knew. No, she messaged publicly, but added me like in an Instagram story, because I just really knew. I was like, people think they know what it's like, or they have this kind of attitude. The attitude people have towards people in the public eye, like, oh, well, you put yourself in this situation. That's the same thing as in like an everyday life saying, well, like saying to a cashier at CVS, if you knock a whole display case down and then leave it and then they have to pick it up, saying, well, that's your fucking job. That's
right.
What it's the same thing.
You're
as
right.
To.
Yeah.
And so, yes, technically that is part of their job. And technically being in the public eye is part of our job. But everyone is still a human. And you never need to make someone else's human experience worse than it has to be. There's enough garbage in this world.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to make it unpleasant?
It's so disgusting to do that. You must feel disgusting and you must like it. And I get what it's like to do something disgusting and get it's sick, but you kind of get off on it a little bit. I get it.
Right.
I've stopped myself, though. You are capable of stopping yourself. And it's like, yeah, don't get bummed out over the negative. It has nothing to do with that. Don't be a dick. I feel like human beings are capable of not being dicks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And try a little hard and give us all some hope in the world.
And it's funny because sometimes I'll like need a picture or something of myself, and I know it's like easier to find like by Googling a specific article or whatever. So I'll Google myself. And also it's good to Google yourself every now and again, because sometimes you find shit that you're like, why is that there? And I need to get that taken down.
Just in general,
like sometimes like too much information, you know, is out about like your personal, you know, info. And so I had to Google myself for some reason the other day, and the Reddit threads unfortunately come up in the Google search pretty high a lot of times. And so I did click on one because I was like, oh, it was about, I don't know, it might have been about the breakup episode, and I was just kind of curious because I had never
about the breakup episode?
Yes.
Wow.
I had never read I haven't read Reddit about us in a long time, because James was usually the one who would tell me about it, because he was on Reddit.
Yeah, because you told me a couple of things.
Yeah.
That's from James.
Yeah. And so I was reading a couple of things, and some people were commenting on how, you know, a couple years into the podcast, we started complaining a lot, and it felt like we were scolding listeners for their behavior. And like, I know I certainly have done that many times, and
but it's fucking disappointing when people act like dicks.
Right.
It's disappointing.
But in addition to that, is number one, if you did not exhibit aforementioned behavior, the scold doesn't pertain to you.
Yeah, motherfucker.
So it should just fall upon deaf ears.
So true.
So if it's bothering you, obviously you are guilty, and you're feeling guilty, and you're using that. And you're saying, well, they scolded me, as a defense. And secondly, I think it's also interesting to talk about, because for us, like, we are, you know, experiencing being in the public eye as full-blown adults.
Always forget
in real time. And yes, there are all these parts where, yes, you know, it's so cool what happened with the podcast, and it couldn't have happened without you guys, and we have money to eat now, and all of that is fabulous. And sometimes, and I'm really trying to be more cognizant of it lately, like, of being grateful of the wonderful aspects and the privilege and how cool this is. And we also did put a lot of work in, and I know people guffaw at that, but like, we really did.
Oh my God, we worked our ass off to get here, and it's great.
I think it's interesting to talk about and maybe even as a time capsule, I would recommend this to like future people, because yeah. becoming, going from a complete unknown person to someone who literally millions of people have listened to these very personal things, and your first kind of dalliance with a low-level celebrity is having people know the real you as opposed to a character you played right. or a song you sang.
The words are our own, not a script.
Is yeah. a really unique experience. Yeah. And I think you're hearing firsthand, obviously you see the ups of it because you see our face on a magazine, or you see the numbers we're getting, or you saw us get a book deal. But I also think it's important to talk about all the negative aspects. Number one, because celebrity is so seemingly aspirational in American culture. I am was definitely someone who was like, God, all I wanted to do was be famous. And now that I'm even like a tiny bit famous, I realize what an empty wish that was. Mm. And if anything, it has greatly negatively impacted my mental health. And there's really the rewards I have gotten out of this experience, none of them have to do with what I thought they would have to do. Like, I do not, like, it's cool to be liked and appreciated and stuff, but like, it doesn't give me anything. And I think that's because I do love myself so deeply. So it's like, I'm not right. getting anything out of it.
It gives me a lot.
Yeah. I really don't like attention. The only time I've certainly, like, if you're at my show, you better fucking shut up. But yeah, like, well, yeah. So I like attention, you know, in that manner. And I like people to, you know, like read, you know, a passage from the book and be like, oh, I really liked that. I thought that was interesting and insightful. But beyond that, I don't really have like you being like, yeah, you're so hot, or like, yeah, you're like, I want to be like you. Like, those are nice things, but like, they just don't mean anything to me. And that's fine. You can say it. But so it's like, why did I want this all along? And it's kind of a very confusing thing that I'm still figuring out. And for me, like, the upsides of it is definitely being able to highlight other people in the comedy business that I really love.
Who deserve it.
Who have not gotten the attention that they deserve. So highlighting them has been really cool. Being able to do charitable things, and then being able to buy things or experiences for people that I like, to just kind of treat people in my life to things who have helped me, especially for so long when I was so broke. So those are the things that I enjoy about it. But then at the end of the day, I'm like, the actual I love being able to do what I like, but then sometimes you're under an extra strong microscope doing what you're like, because I'm like, you don't need to be famous to do stand-up comedy, especially in New York City. Like, yes, I certainly get booked on more shows, but even with that, you're like, oh, are you booking me because I'm funny or because you think I can fill five extra chairs?
I can't figure out. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of just it. But it's just, you know, I think it's nice, especially because so many people are dying to be famous, and like, just ask yourself, why do you have a particularly unique message that you think you want to, you know, put out there? Because I think the more I'm realizing like why kind of this happened, because I do believe in fate. So it's like, yes, there's hard work, but there's also fate. And so I truly think it's like, okay, I went through a pretty traumaless childhood, but I think that my like kind of like thing that I need to deal with is then sharing like self-confidence with other people, and that in and of itself has become traumatizing, because it has taken a lot from like me emotionally. So because I have given that away, I am less capable of taking care of myself in some ways, which is why I, you know, sought professional help. So I think that's why. So it makes sense, like, because there is some kind of an ebb and a flow to the universe.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you don't do that. And I know it's weird to be like, it is suffering to give away self-confidence. But again, like, it's a really hard experience to describe. And again, because we're doing something so weird, like podcasting, such a new medium.
Yeah.
You just didn't really know. We kind of walked into this thing that was a real social experiment. So there are so many things in my life that literally only Christina Hutchinson understands.
Yeah.
Because we are the only two people
who experience, yeah.
We're going through this very, very unique experience.
Do you remember the first time? I actually thought about this moment the other day, because I don't know. I actually want to ask my therapist this when I see her tomorrow. If it's, maybe it's not fucked up. I have no idea. I'm not judging it, but I'm like, I love every aspect. I love when people come up to me on the street, in a store, when they're, because they're the people that listen, that come, that I've, all my experiences with anybody who's like approached us in public, they're the kindest. I mean, I don't know them
absolutely.
Just like good people. Like, and I'm like, I'm so proud of us for like garnering this great chunk of humanity. Like, mm-hmm. I really like it a
well,
lot.
And because
I like,
you get energy from people as well.
Yeah, because I'm an extrovert. But uh-huh. I love, like, when I went back on social media after that retreat, I was like, oh my God, thank God. I feel like I can communicate now, like, with people. I don't know.
And literally a thought I've never had.
and I was so excited. I read all my messages. Uh-huh. And, but the negative ones, I'm like, eh, you're just dealing with something on you. Like, yeah. They actually really don't upset me anymore, which is nice.
Oh, yeah. It is so easy now to be like, oh, this is your thing, not my thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're projecting, and now I could see that and stuff. But I like those aspects. But I thought the other day, remember we had this meeting, because, you know, when you're in this industry, and when a podcast gets hot, this is just like, just this is how the industry works. People want to do a TV show with you, mm-hmm. right? And we Corinne and I have,
obviously it hasn't worked out.
Yeah, you're right.
So far,
no, it hasn't. But we've probably created between, like, you and I,
yeah.
like fucking 20 concepts that were fucking excellent.
And we've progressed every time it gets closer yeah. to being on TV.
Yeah,
so that's positive.
Yeah, we're like that guy I'm gonna take too long to figure it out. I'm just gonna stop there. But we had a meeting with a producer, this woman, and then it was a really great meeting. It was one of the earlier on ones.
Okay,
we were maybe 8 months into doing the podcast,
okay,
a year,
mm-hmm.
and we were at this bar in Gramercy. It was at a hotel. We were
Ace
at a bar.
Hotel.
Yeah, we were upstairs in this little balcony area. And then yeah. we went to the bathroom, and then on the steps, mm-hmm. somebody goes, "Oh my God, are you Corinne and Christina?" And that mm-hmm. was the first time that ever happened to us. And mm-hmm. I came home and cried.
Yeah, we went to the bathroom and celebrated. It was really cool. It was really fucking cool.
I'll never forget that moment, because I'm like, this is something that I never thought. You know, I had a career trajectory in my mind. I was like, I want to get on SNL. SNL mm-hmm. is a thing. But this is it's a different lane that I didn't even know was being known for being yourself and actually helping people and being funny. Those are boxes that I did not think that I would be checking. Now, I didn't think I wasn't capable of it. I didn't even imagine that. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't know. I like it a lot. I really like every aspect of it. I don't know if that's the healthy
or not. You get irritated sometimes with, like,
sometimes, yeah. Well, when people like contact Steven,
right.
it's like, come on, you guys, don't be assholes. But,
well, it's interesting in that moment, because I remember that moment, you know, vividly, like it was yesterday. Yeah. But for me, I found satisfaction in that moment too. For me, the satisfaction of that moment came as, like, this is a real life, real time marker
yeah.
of me.
I'll never forget it.
Of, like, me just reminding me that I achieved what I knew I always could achieve.
Yes, that's what I agree.
So then for me, so it's like we marked that, and then kind of it never has to happen again, because for me it's like we've already marked that, and then moving forward, to me it would just be feeding my ego, which my ego doesn't need to be fed anymore.
I like getting my ego fed.
Mine just doesn't need to be. It doesn't
connecting with people.
It doesn't
though,
make my head bigger. Like, it's so funny. Some friend, again, in this similar pattern of people telling me shit that I don't need to know, someone, a good friend of mine, commented to me like, oh yeah, a lot of people have been like, oh wow, Corinne's a lot more nice that she now that she's successful. And I was just like, I don't need to hear that, because it's like, God, I'm just like, oh, who do I have to not talk to who didn't like
yeah,
me before?
You are the same person.
Well, I am nicer though. They're absolutely right. I'm nicer in business settings, because before I was just being me and reacting to shitty people with cunty attitude,
right?
Which they deserved and still deserve. But these days I am nicer to people, even when they are treating me rudely or annoyingly, because I'm now hypersensitive to the fact that, because people for some reason care about us now, that it's going to get out, and that they're going to take it as like, oh, she's a bitch because she is successful, when in reality I was always a bitch,
right?
But you didn't notice. You don't remember.
You didn't remember that part.
So now I'm like extra polite,
right?
And because of that, because I don't want people to think. Yeah. They're like, oh, you know, she just, you know, became a bitch. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I was always that way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I don't know. It's just interesting, because it's just a constant process of like thinking like, okay, well, you know, what are the benefits? What am I getting out of this? And is this something that I want to continue my life like this?
Yeah.
And I really don't know. I couldn't give you an answer now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's very disheartening to like work towards something that, you know, for a long time, achieve it, and then be like, this doesn't click the way I thought it would.
Interesting.
So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, and just in general, like, I love talking about the entertainment industry. And I know some people are like, this is boring, this is about sex. Well, it's like, but I love this industry so much, the bad parts and the good parts. And every step of the way teaches me something more, because the deeper you get, the more that is revealed.
Oh, there's some fucked up shit, man.
And like, so for instance, like when I interned for Michael Moore, that kind of told me that I do like the industry, but I have to be in an area of the industry where I can also do a good amount of charitable work, because the charitable work undoes the grossness of the industry for me.
Right.
And then it brings
it back. Balance for you.
Yeah, it brings it back to, you know, because a Libra scales, it brings it back to a healthy balance for me, where I feel like, okay, this isn't, you know, bad. And then just like, you know, taking long, you know, chunks of the day where I'm not on social media, making sure I'm doing things other than entertainment based things, yeah. Not always hanging out with comedians. So yeah, that's it. And what part of the, I just want to get into the voting. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So this is based off of something I learned on a date. So several weeks ago, before PM, if you're following, that's a professional musician. I was on a, not before I met PM, but just like before I realized that we were more than friends.
Oh.
And you know what? That could be over right now. I hope not again.
I hope it's going.
And so I went on a date with a guy I met on a Hinge. And again, like, so I was, the reason I was on Raya was because I wanted someone with like who had really just achieved something. And then I realized it's just all people who like paint in a warehouse in Brooklyn and have, you know, stuff all over their smock, like they're fucking Jackson Pollock, but really they only have like the mentality of Jackson Pollock, which is mentally ill. And then none of the money or success of Jackson Pollock. So that I learned pretty quickly. And again, I really can't reiterate enough how important it is to, you know, wear shoes with socks on your profile if you're a man.
Yeah, as Jilly Hendrix put it, Raya's great if you want to fuck Diplo's tour photographer.
Love it. Love her. Love it. Jilly Hendrix, everyone. And so this guy, again, 48, my sweet spot. Everyone I date is 48.
Wow.
Literally everyone. It's something, it's very weird. He kind of started like one chapter of TEDx conferences and actually was familiar with our podcast, which was cool. Mm-hmm. And so he, haven't heard from him, but whatever. I thought he was really nice. But again, I'm like, you're not my soulmate. As soon as I met him, I was like, you're not my soulmate. Really handsome. Look kind of like Jeremy Renner, honestly. Yeah, like an older like Jeremy Renner. Like he's hot, really sweet, really nice. But again, I could tell.
Wow.
I was like, you're the kind of person I would end up walking all over. Kind, gentle person.
He would be brushing your hair.
Gosh, I mean, a girl can dream. So we went to this, Generator Collective, which is Lana Glazer's like talks, social political awareness thing. She started it a while back, and it's just to kind of remind people with larger social media platforms, or anyone with a social media platform, because we all have them now, that, you know, you can post selfies and you can post pictures of the food you ate, but, you know, for every four times you post that, maybe one time post something about how you can make an active difference in the world. That's kind of the purpose of it, and that's how she explained it. So he was like, hey, do you want to go to this Alana Glazer thing? And I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
And then I was like, fuck, I was like, we have a very similar fan base, and I was like, I hope no one sees me on this first date. And then it turned out someone did see me, but it was a comedian, Petey. I don't check my phone during dates because I want to like be present.
That's
so
cool.
After the date, I was in a cab going to a show, and I look at my Instagram, and Petey had seen me walking in and filmed me. And I was like, Petey, this is so cute, because like if I get married to this guy, like, and I'm not, but
yeah.
If I get married to this guy, like I have footage of our first ever date.
That's a rare, yeah.
It was also good because I had my phone in my back pocket, and I was like, idiot, like you're not an open mic. Like you got to show off the goods. Why did you do that? And I also needed to take a flat iron to the back part of my hair. But again, notes, it's good. I was glad that I had that footage. Someone also informed me that I should get bangs. So that was nice to hear from some feedback, because I guess my forehead was too big for the frame. That's what she was saying. I was wearing a headband, so it was extra pronounced, but whatever.
I got high and cut my own bangs last night. Hey.
And so the series that we went to, they were talking specifically about the position of public advocate, which I didn't even know was a position in New York City. I think they have them. I guess they have them everywhere.
It's a position you can get voted into.
Yes. Yeah. You have to run for public advocate, and people don't even know that it exists, that the election exists, or what it's about. And that's a problem, because a lot of times it's like the same, you know, couple thousand, 10,000 people voting for these elections, and why things never change.
Right.
Because it's like only these old registered registered Democrats and Republicans that even know that these elections are happening.
Right.
I didn't even know that this was fucking happening. I've lived in New York City for 15 years and have voted in every major election since I was 18.
Yeah.
So just in short, they have a couple things that they do, but the public advocate is most fundamentally a watchdog. So it's kind of in that, you know, American setup of checks and balances. It's the person who calls other people in the government out when they are not doing what they should, when they are not making good on the promises that they promised.
Yeah.
And that includes things like the MTA. Like, apparently the MTA had and the mayor of New York had said that he was going to introduce something with the MTA prorated, things for lower income people.
Yeah, yeah.
Metro cards for lower income people at a discounted rate. And he said that was supposed to be happen like January 1, 2019. It didn't happen. So you have to call these people out.
Yeah.
And that's how things get done.
Them. Yeah.
And how, you know, real estate moguls and because of real, it also taught me how much real estate owns cities and how corrupt it is and how real estate people are getting so much discounts on things. And then, you know, people are still, you know, making, you know, $12 an hour and barely able to feed their kids in New York City. So again, that's what the public advocate does. And she had four people on, or three people on maybe, who were running for public advocate. So it was number cool.
Wow.
It was cool number one because I learned what a fucking public advocate was.
That's awesome.
I learned when the election was, and I'm talking about it today because it's February 26th. So if you live in New York City, I want you to make sure to go out and vote. And you can do
February 26th is the election. Okay.
And you could do a quick Google search to learn about the candidates. There were three there. Out of the three there, I really loved Dawn Smalls. She worked for the Obama campaign. She's a, I don't want to say older because she's not very old, but above 20s, black woman. And I just really, she was confident. She was to the point. She was no bullshit. She wasn't running on, a personality
fluff
trait.
Right.
She knew her shit. She's a lawyer. She's has a track record of success. She was really well versed in exactly what the position was and what she would do with it and why she was up for the role. I really, really liked her. Just a reminder, vote. I'm going to vote. And it was just so cool that, you know, it was a positive experience date, even though I didn't fall in love. It's always nice to go out and meet another human being and be like, yeah, I really like you.
Yeah.
And I know we're here because we're trying to find, you know, a person to, you know, spend the rest of our lives with or a chunk of time with. And I don't think that's you. It's nice to meet another person who are like, oh, you're not a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And
I can stand
if this
you
was under different circumstances, we could just be, you know, bros if we needed.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of adults need a bro, but it was fun.
Sometimes you never know.
And also just a great idea for a date. I learned on it because I know people are like, oh, it's such a waste of time to go on dates. And I think sometimes it is.
Yeah, but that's a good
because you're drinking, you're eating, it's just boring stuff, waste of money. But this was so wonderful because we shared a cool experience together. We weren't able to talk that much, which was weird, and I had to run after, which I had warned him about. We learned something together and we experienced something new together, and I would have never gone to that place or seen that talk had it not been for him. So
that's a great idea. Kudos to that guy.
So thanks.
Good idea.
That was a really good experience. I enjoyed it and I learned a lot, and I feel like my life is better for having gone on that date, even though that's not going to be my person.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
There's also something nice when two people can both, I don't know how he's feeling, but if two people can both recognize this was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the person.
Right.
But hey, I had fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just so nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of nice, our guest. Sorry. He's a longtime friend of ours. I love this guy. He's a beat master. He made a video for us back in the day, one of the early Sorry About Last Night classics, You Don't Live Here.
Oh, I want to call him beat master from now on.
Beat master.
Because he also loves eggs, so it works two ways.
Oh my God, double entendre. He's a stand-up comedian, beat master, host of The Breakdown with Boris Hyken. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Boris Hyken.
Couple drinks at the party, you're just getting started. I don't do it like that no more. Girl, you made me heartless, why'd you have to start this? Baby, you don't really know me no more. Keep on telling me
lies. Never want it in your body, makes you come alive. Tonight, your heart is on ice. You're poison in my veins, but you don't feel the pain at all. I can see right through your soul. I sparked some fire on you, left me so cold. I don't even know you no more. Your love waking me to my core. Couple drinks at the party, just getting started. I don't do it like that no more. Girl, you made me heartless. Why'd you have to start this? Baby, you don't really know me no more.
We're here with our pal, Forrest Hyken.
Yeah.
Oh, Forrest. You're fun. This is so fun. You, okay, when Sorry About Last Night was first founded, one of the first events, our first outings.
We're calling it founded, yes.
Yeah. Our first outing was this Halloween party that you were at. And I remember that's when I met you.
Oh, I forgot about that Halloween
didn't
party.
Didn't we meet at a sketch class before
Well,
then?
We met at Kevin Allison's sketch class. Yeah. I remember we had to go around and say a fun fact about ourselves. And Boris's fun fact was, I don't wash vegetables because if that's what's going to kill me, what's the point of living or something? And
wow.
That sounds like me 10 years
and
ago.
I was, but 10 years ago,
I still
I'm like,
don't. Mostly don't wash vegetables.
You could have said
vegetables.
That today and it would have blown my mind. I'm like, whoa.
I love that you remember that very specific
I'll
thing.
I'll never forget
that's
it.
True.
So what, that possibly was my first impression of you, but I was like, but I was like, what a unique way of thinking you have that I really like.
That's
and you're very funny.
Well, I have a third world immune system, you know?
You nice. Have, you do, yeah, wait, explain.
Ukraine. Well, I was born in Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I got my first exposure to like anything I was exposed to.
What the
so,
fuck
like,
is
what the
Ukraine
hell is-
like? I have no idea. I'm an ignorant American.
Well, it's changed a lot. So I couldn't even tell you that confidently what it's like today. I was there until 91.
Okay.
And then I visited 14 years ago. Where I'm from is really nice. It's like a cultural, it's Odessa. It's a big like port town. It's on the water of the Black Sea.
Also a restaurant downtown.
Also a restaurant. Also a city in Texas.
Whoa.
Yeah. We can keep
Texas.
Free
A cool name.
We're just
going to
yes and for an hour.
Yeah. But it was, you know, it was like a.
But it's third world?
I'm kind of using that colloquially. I don't know if it would
it
actually.
Could be, and I'm
had,
like.
We had plumbing, you know.
Okay.
Let me not play this up too much. But it was still, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that was messed up about it. Actually, one vivid memory I have as a child is there was like always a fire for some reason that was like permanently in front of the like complex. It was all like government, like all the housing looks like what projects here look like because
okay.
It was all government housing.
Yeah.
Unless you were like an oligarch or whatever.
Whoa, but, that's a jump. So there's no middle class.
Not really. I mean, there's still gradation the way that there is here, but similar. There's people that are really
dwindling.
Tied into the government and the hookups and stuff, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah.
But there was a fire, I remember as a little kid, like constantly in front of where we lived.
In a pit? Was it contained?
Like in a pit. I just remember falling into it with my hand.
Uh-oh.
Because it was not lit, but it was like embers. And for some reason, I don't think I'm like traumatized by it, but I have I must have been like 4 or 5, but I have a super vivid memory of just running. My grandma was a doctor, and I just remember running and like just blowing out my hand and crying and running to my grandma. Oh. I had no scars somehow,
wow.
You know?
Well, she's a healer.
She's a healer, yeah.
Wow. So you fell in fires.
I fell in a fire. I mean, there's a bunch of other random, you know, crazy stuff about it. But yeah, third world is an exaggeration.
Okay.
There's plumbing. There's like medicine. It gets a lot more third world than Ukraine, that's for sure.
Okay, yeah.
But there's also like villages. You know, I was in a city. If you go further in the outskirts, it's called an oblast, which is like areas that they have there. And then there'd be like villages where like it is closer to that. You're in the middle of nowhere. It's like where, you know, people starved during the famines and stuff.
Ah, so what if you had to classify like Ukrainians as like in terms of family life, or is it strict? Is it a religious culture? Are they, how do they feel about sex? I mean,
yeah.
From your perspective, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as a 6-year-old there, I wasn't fucking much. But
oh, that sucks.
But no, generally speaking, it's not religious for the most part because religion was illegal there. It was a communist regime when I lived there. So
wait,
you could not.
Religion was illegal, but it was communist. I don't know. How do you feel about it? I don't know.
Well,
how...
communism was the religion. That's kind of
okay.
How it works. So for the most part, under communism, atheism was a big part of that movement.
I kind of on board with that. Is there what are the downsides?
Well, there's a lot of downsides. So I'm personally an atheist, but I talk about. I think some people do need God. I think it helps certain people. And I think that there's
doesn't
like,
help people like Kirk Cameron, but it does help other people.
It
like,
helps other people.
Put
I mean,
down the drink.
I mean, listen, I spent my like probably since when I came here, I got kicked out of Hebrew school. Like I came here as a Jewish refugee.
Badass.
Because like religious or not, our paperwork said Jew. Like you were not a Russian.
Your paperwork said Jew?
Yeah.
You said
your paperwork in Russia says Jewish or whatever it is in Russian. The Russian word for kike is zhid, if you're curious about
which
it.
Makes sense because Judaism is an ethnicity as well. And like that's why like even though I'm not religious, I still identify as Jewish because it is ethnicity.
And because you'd have no choice. If someone's trying to wipe them out, they'll look at your face and they don't care how you feel about God.
Well, I'm also Italian, so which, you know, so thank you.
All right. Well, Italians and Jews also like either way, like over there, you know, you worshipped the state. I had photos of, and this was also changing very rapidly as we were leaving. But
well,
in my,
good.
I went to kindergarten and preschool there. We had photos of Lenin. You called him Grandpa Lenin.
Ooh,
that's weird.
Grandpa Lenin.
Grandpa Lenin.
Dude, Lenin was a,
that's a little sexual.
It's what?
That's a little sexual.
Grandpappy
Lenin. Zaddy Lenin.
Zaddy Lenin.
We call them Daddy Lenin.
Granddaddy.
No, Zaddy Lenin.
Oh, God.
But I even, I remember my dad at his work, he worked at the TV studio in Odessa, obviously all government owned. They had photos of Lenin. And
downside of communism.
Yeah, well, the thing is, so.
No free
publicly,
ideas.
Well, it's kind of like when you're speaking publicly, everyone's kind of, it's a culture of ratting on each other. And so nobody speaks honestly until they're at home. And my parents were like talking shit about Lenin at home. And then I like repeated it at my dad's work. I was like, what are you putting up a photo of that asshole for? And they like took me aside. And thankfully, they were friends with my dad. And they were like, you need to get your son out of here. And, and they got me out of there. But as far as religion in general, mostly.
You could not speak negatively about Lenin.
So it was changing. At the time, it was Gorbachev who was president, and they were actually starting to remove public images of Lenin.
Oh.
But it was still like it all depended on who you were talking to. So it was a transition.
Scary.
It was not a smooth transition. And like there were some like Russian Orthodox churches that had deals with the government where like if you were pro-government, people could still practice.
Even, okay, oh, okay. Because that's the only way religion wasn't illegal then? If they
it was just
scratch
like,
your back, I'll scratch.
Exactly. And it was like a lot of it was more cultural than laws. There was a lot of like I said, everyone was ratting on each other. It was a lot of like public enforcement of that kind of stuff. Also for Jews, like the reason why we came here as Jewish refugees, they had limits to like only 3% of like a university can be Jews, like things like that.
In Ukraine they had that?
In communist Russia, but in Ukraine I'm certainly more familiar with it as far as like
so they
my
capped
grandparents.
The Jews.
They capped it.
They had a cap on Jews.
They're too privileged.
Was that the
reasoning?
Some of the language echoed certain things.
Well,
yeah.
Because I mean, it does make it, that actually does make sense.
That's
well,
I mean, it
so
feels hurtful.
The
but.
Jews are like, you know, not to get myself in too much heat here, but they're involved in a lot of different sides of a lot of different things. The Bolshevik Revolution was also a lot of Jews because the czars in Russia were also pretty anti-Semitic. So they led the revolution. They thought it would like improve stuff, and then it turned out, oh, the new people are also kind of anti-Semitic.
Damn it!
Seems to be a constant.
Why does everybody hate Jews? How many? So which members of your family came over as refugees at this time? Like when you came over to America,
so
what was that process like?
It was literally like chain migration. So what happened was the Berlin Wall fell in 89, and that's when everybody was like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here, because now you could. It was easier. As soon as you try to leave, you're considered a traitor. So the way that the process works is, or the way that it worked for us is, you had to declare that you were leaving, and the way you do that is you quit your job and you get formal paperwork saying, because everyone works for the government. So if you quit your job, you're no longer basically a member of the state.
God, that's creepy.
So you quit your job, and during that time, you submit your paperwork, and during that time, you obviously have no way of earning a living, so you have to like plan ahead for that type of thing. So for starters, you had a huge underground economy. So like everyone, the expression there was like the government pretended to pay you and you would pretend to work, because like everyone would get jack shit. But then on the side, anyone who was
like. Someone's like knitting some dolls.
People still had hustle. You know what I mean? Like
got,
my dad
like,
would go like.
Out of their house.
Yeah. Well, my dad, actually funny story, the way this is, they kind of romanticize it. But supposedly the way my dad met my mom, my dad used to, so he worked at a TV studio in Russia, but he would also. Fix VCRs and televisions, because if you had a VCR or TV there, you weren't just getting a new one when it broke. You got it fixed.
Yeah.
And so my dad, I know, went to like different people's houses and fixed their TVs and VCRs. He had a friend who he told me would have like porn and bring it from house to house, and they would play. They had movies too, but like he was trying to be funny probably, but it was a real thing. But they would go because not
that was the
so
thing
few
to
people,
test to see if it was working.
Well, so few people had access to TVs, VCRs, and certainly porn, but they would like go to people's houses and play movies or whatever the fuck they wanted, whoever had the money to pay for it.
Yeah.
And supposedly he met my mom by fixing a VCR or something at like a relative of hers' place.
Okay. Mm, oh, that's sexy. Sweet.
Yeah, even though I think they kind of like set it up or
you
something
repaired
so that they would
VCR.
Meet.
You repaired my VCR. I yeah. love you.
And now I repair, yeah. Oh. So they were able to save up because my dad would have this job on the side. And I know my mom told me that even when he did quit his job, he was still friends with the people there and they let him continue to work somehow and like keep earning a living. Because you apply... You're a traitor at that point. And here's the funny thing I remember is so they had to submit paperwork through like the government office, wherever, and they lost their paperwork and they bribed them. They actually, I just asked them and they bribed them with, it was 3,500 rubles, which is the equivalent of probably like about $700, which is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So it took they sold their car there.
Holy
they
crap.
Had like an old, and not a lot of people had cars either. My dad was like super proud of having this car. And like a bottle of something.
To unlose their paperwork.
Literally 10 minutes later, they were like, oh, we found it. Our memory is unclogged.
I found it.
Yeah. And it's very like...
You can't. What are you going to do under that corruption? You can't do anything.
Oh my God. It's so funny how... No, there's no shame. Like here, there's this feeling of like you get caught in something. Some people don't have it, but we call them like sociopaths. You know, when you don't have that look behind your eyes, like you just got caught with something.
Yeah,
there's some people, or like you know, good salesmen or something. I don't know, but over there, it's phenomenal how normal. We went back to visit. I talk about this sometimes in my stand-up, but it's a real thing. We went back to visit. And this is after the fall of communism, but it's, you know, the culture is still there. Like, I still won't do business with most Russians in America. Like, I'm weary of, it's just embedded in the culture. So we went back. Corruption is embedded in the
agree
with
you.
Insurance scams they pulled.
Oh, I don't do business with Israelis.
Exactly. You can be racist against your own people.
I'm not Israeli, though, but I've been
there. I am. Woo.
There you go. But like,
I guess I do some business with Israelis. Then.
But on behalf, I don't care. It's okay.
That's just because they're mean.
They can be. They can be harsh. They have to serve in the army. Mm-hmm. So when we went back and visited, not to digress, but they take our first piece of luggage. They like make a mess, like clearly intentionally just throw everything out everywhere. And then they look at my dad and they're like, will we be inspecting the rest of your luggage? And that's a weird question away for me. If I grow up,
no,
my dad doesn't skip a beat, takes out $20, hands it to them. They say, thank you. Welcome to the Ukraine.
Whoa.
And my dad bribed security with 14 years ago. $20 is already like not a lot of money 14 years ago, but that's like what it costs to bring literally whatever you want into the Ukraine.
Shit.
Well, I kind of wish bribing worked a little bit more in America.
Yeah, damn.
Well, you just need a lot more than $20.
I paid a guy once $20, gave me in a high Florida hotel, and he didn't, but he kept the money. Damn.
Do you remember coming
over here? Like, what was that?
Well, so to finish that part, we got delayed. What happened was Lautenberg changed the law. There was something that happened where they changed it so you needed like different type of paperwork, different type of familiar ties. I just remember my parents cursing Lautenberg at the time because he changed the law in America. So this is what it was. The way people did it is you couldn't really go directly to America. Most of the time, the government wouldn't allow you. You applied for a visa.
The Ukrainian government or the American government?
The Soviet government.
Okay.
And so you would go to Israel, or you apply for a visa in Israel, you would fly to Vienna or like a couple other places, and then you would change your route to America. There was not really a clear way to come to America. And so, well, they changed the law where you had to fly directly, and so we couldn't go for whatever reason. And my mom became pregnant with my younger brother. She wanted to stay and have him there because like her mom's a doctor there, and she just, a lot of changes at once are difficult on the system with that kind of thing. And during the time that we stayed, they figured out a way where like my grandfather's has another family and they had kids in America and they sponsored for us to come and that whole deal, and we were able to come here finally.
Wow. How old were you when you got here?
I turned 7 like right after we came here. Aww. And I have a vivid, so we came as Jewish refugees, so we had like these organizations that helped us find our first like project housing. They gave me like hand-me-down clothes.
Yeah.
In exchange,
they were kind and opening and caring to
you. Yeah,
they
had demands.
Nice.
Let me start with the two main ones. So in exchange, they really wanted us, my parents, to like help us try Judaism because we weren't allowed to practice it there. My parents aren't religious, but they were like, well, let's give them an option. So I went to Hebrew school for like 3 weeks, and right away, apparently, it was like,
you're like, not for
my
me.
Brain was already not built for it.
Oh, but so it was like a Jewish, it was kind of like a birthright type organization that helped you immigrate? Is that—
so there's one really famous one, and I know that's not the one we use, called Hias, that helps immigrants come over.
Well, it wouldn't have been Birthright, because that's not what they do, but I'm just saying, like
it's an organization, right?
Well, Birthright, it says, well, here's a free trip, but then they're like, they like try to guilt you into becoming super Jewish the whole time.
Depending
that's
on the one you
paying.
Go to, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so this one, for the most part, I can't complain. They mostly helped our family immigrate here.
That's nice.
So I tried that out, but also I was circumcised at 7 when I came here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You got circumcised at 7?
I got circumcised at 7. I have a memory of my own circumcision.
Too bad you're not on dating apps anymore, because I would really love you to have that.
That's my byline. Vivid memory of my own circumcision.
At 7 years old. Now, that's really interesting because...
yeah, interesting, I'm sure, is the word Boris to
a lot of. Well, it's a lot of things. How did you know? Who gave you the news?
It was like a Marie Kondo thing where I had to hold it. And see if it sparked joy.
Yeah. And you're like, this foreskin doesn't spark joy. I think you need to get rid of it.
Out of here.
Toss it.
What I do remember is they gave me, I don't remember, I was awake. I know they didn't put me to sleep. I can't remember if they like, if it was numbed or not. I don't remember any like pain.
It's really nice that you don't remember it, because I think if it was super painful at 7, you would have remembered
it. I mean, is that a traumatic experience? I mean, having,
it wasn't for me.
It's your genitals. That's an intimate.
They gave me one of those, do you remember those video games they had where it's like an LCD screen, the background doesn't move, and like football players kind
of
move side to side?
Of course I do. I love those games.
I played that
while
they snipped my dick. Yeah.
They also had the little water ones where you push it and like the water would spat out.
Oh, I love the water. And the rings? You got to get the rings?
Dentist office.
Oh my God. That sounds like it wouldn't be sanitary in a circumcision environment.
Oh no, I liked it. It was closed. The water's not out.
So wait, who,
you're not in the water.
Okay, I imagine that incorrectly.
How many people circumcised you?
That I can't remember.
It was an orgy circumcision.
I know.
Yeah, because like, and do you remember any of the tools? Like, how do you even, do they use a
knife? No, I don't remember it that specifically. I'm sure
and
they
does
use
the
something
skin
sharp.
Rip off the...
Well, I mean, usually when a baby's getting circumcised, you're at a bris, and
doesn't the guy just put the dick in his mouth?
And a
moil is very
doing
odd.
It.
That's
no,
like,
they tie it off with their mouth.
That's like some like insane Hasids.
Yeah.
Okay.
These guys, man, I should hope not. I feel like I should trust that my parents would flip out if someone tried to do that shit to me.
I would hope so.
Well, you've never been to a bris?
I actually went to my first bris like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Because I was like chewing
the
it
tools
up.
That they use,
it's almost like a... Like a barber. If you ever see like a small barber's
like
kit.
A cigar cutter.
I
actually didn't see that clearly.
They're small metal tools, and they're usually not like electronic. So
why? I know this is extreme circumstances. When the guy puts the dick in the, what is he tying?
Or sucking it off.
So what
is what I meant.
What their reasoning, and I'm going to explain this.
That's like
this.
R. Kelly literally saying, here's what I'm doing, and everyone's getting
with
it. It's
blood. It's not.
Okay, so their
it's
reasoning.
Yeah, but
it's still like, I would still be comfortable calling it savage, but like, their reasoning is like, if they were doing this, let's say, thousands of years ago in the desert, and they were wandering through, and this was considered like the safer thing, because people probably got infections under there and shit like that. They're not showering,
just
bathing.
Clean your dick.
Well, so you don't have clean water, you don't have anything sterile,
right.
So my guess, again, without justifying this at all as the barbarism that it is, that's probably the reasoning. Today, you have no reason to do
it
that.
It just stuck.
Well,
like Orthodox Judaism, many parts of it, that does make sense, because like keeping kosher, for instance, a lot of the rules of keeping kosher go back from years and years and years ago with cleanliness and heat and not having proper refrigeration for food. That's why you're separating meat from dairy, etc., having different sinks. So kind of like I always like compare it to kind of like being Amish. It's like you're living in this old timey way, really for no reason, because you have modern ways to get out of it, except for like pay homage to folks of yore kind of thing, like, or like saying, like, you know, these times were better times, and it is there are dirty, sinful times that we're living in now. I mean, that's kind of what it is.
That's definitely part of it. Part of it, I think, is like a self-controlled, because, you know, some of these rules that they have is like, it's not even the rule, but they build fences around the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like pretty interesting. So they consider it so bad to break the rule that, like, so you can't work on a Saturday, right? But they can't ride bicycles either. And it's not because you can't ride a...
On a Saturday.
On the Sabbath.
On a Saturday, oh, yeah.
And it's not because you can't ride a bicycle. It's because, like, if the chain comes off while you're riding and it by itself comes back on, you technically fix the bike, and fixing something is
Jesus
doing work.
Christ.
So they have these, like, fences, because it's so... The ones that are, like, ultra-religious.
Right.
None of these people are the ones we associated with either way.
But why'd you have to get your dick skin cut off?
I actually asked my mom... And it's exactly what I guess. She was like, they told us everyone in America did it, and people would think it's funny if you didn't have it done.
Wow.
That's basically what they told them.
Which at the time might not have been super, super inaccurate, but I mean...
Well, they still do it in hospitals.
But don't do it because a girl's going to go, ugh.
You know what? Honestly,
I mean, they do it for cleanliness is what they're saying, but that's been...
I don't know, but the world, argument that it's male genital mutilation,
yeah,
how do you
sure.
feel about that?
I think that's a false equivalency, but honestly, I just had this argument because, so I went to my friend's kid's circumcision. They're more...
That's like an event?
Oh, yeah.
That's what a breast is.
They had a beautiful breakfast platter.
That's was that pre or post
all,
the dick skin?
Pretty much all post. Jews, no matter how, like, even if you're not that religious, do a bris. And that's it's a gathering where you watch the circumcision, but not everyone
what
does the moil suck off thing.
So
I mean, there's also, it's tribalism,
odd.
Which is like part of what it is. So it's it is a way of marking your tribe. I think that, I think that it
just
is a false,
brand me
it's a false equivalency between the two, because, like, it's certainly, I think, more damaging female circumcision is
well,
than male circumcision.
That's specifically to take away female pleasure and to say you can never enjoy your vagina for the rest
it's
of your life. You can still have an orgasm if your dick skin's
cut
off.
And also there's sort of an oxymoron there, because, like, most religions are, at least in some ways, a patriarchy, so it'd be weird if it was a patriarchy
against men.
Against themselves.
Right.
But, like, part of it is, distinguishing themselves from everybody. In America, people do it, though, in general, which is like, I'm not really sure.
I've actually fucking a guy I forgot. He's not circumcised, and I didn't realize it. And then I always forget. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot you're not circumcised. It's not that weird.
Do you have to do anything special?
No, it comes out. It just, and there's not a lot of, it was not a lot of foreskin at all.
If I'm not incorrect, it has something to do with America, with John Kellogg, the guy that invented cereal.
Someone just sent me an
article
on that.
He was super religious, super against masturbation.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kellogg cereal was anti-masturbation.
They wanted you to fill up with carbs, and they said it
lowered
your libido.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Low libido.
For breakfast. I mean, that was part of it. Also, they just had a surplus of grain, and it was just all various types of corruption. But, love corruption. But where were we? Oh, yeah, circumcision. You know, I've honestly been thinking about it a lot, because, you know, I want to have a kid one day, right? And I feel like I got into an argument with my buddy, because he was like, what do you think? Can you believe he's getting his kid circumcised? I'm like, I mean, I can believe it. It's not that crazy. But I think I'm going to be the first person to circumcise their kid out of spite, because anti-circumcision people are so fucking nuts.
Agreed.
The
amount
of
floats
that they care about other people's babies' dicks.
Right. And really, the main thing is, like, mind your own goddamn business.
And
let me do what I'm going
to
do.
But also, like, in the hierarchy of things to, like, devote your passions to.
Oh, trust me.
As...
Someone just texted me this.
Foreskin is
not
a birth
defect. Yeah, this guy needs to get a fucking job.
And he has blood.
He
is wearing white pair of jeans with blood as if he has a period.
Of all... I mean, look, if you want to, like... Especially if you were circumcised and you regret it. But as a person who, like, spent 6 years not circumcised and then circumcised, maybe my life would be different. But I'll tell you it's just not at the top of the things that I think about. It hasn't ruined anything for me. And I can totally see arguments one way or another. So first of all, my mind's really not made up. Like, I think when I have a kid, there's going to be so much new information for me to decide with.
Right.
That, like, why even say that I'm going to do it one way or another now when, like, when I have a kid... Who knows?
Yeah,
you know?
Boris. I mean, no offense. You're not a spring chicken. It's not going to be that much in the future.
That's fair. Touche.
He's like, in 2 years, God knows, there might be flying pigs.
Well, no, I just mean literally the act of having a kid. It's
right.
It changes your life, I assume, in ways that you don't imagine.
Well, you know, you got to make that. I mean, make that decision then, though. Don't wait till he's seven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah,
I would not do that.
you know?
I mean, I can understand why people are so bent out of shape about it, though, because, I mean, like, I always flip things around when it's, like a gender issue. Like, if we were mutilating female genitalia, I would be that person out protesting.
Right, you would be passionate 100%. About it. Right. But again, it's different. What if you just nipped a little bit of the, like, labia? Just a little bit
but
of
I
labia.
Heard, but if you read articles about it, because I actually have a friend who's really into it on Facebook, so I just read kind of a lot of articles about it just because she posts them, and I'm like, well, this is kind of, like, in the area of stuff that we talk about, and it does apparently take away pleasure.
Wait, well, maybe the equivalent, though, to male circumcision is labiaplasty. Not that that's something you
choose
to do. I
think that's probably more accurate.
That's what I'm saying.
So, okay, so what if we were giving labiaplasty?
That would be terrible.
What's labiaplasty?
It's when you if you have, like, vaginal lips that are, like,
big beef curtains, like myself.
Some people like that.
Oh, exactly. They're great.
But some people get that. There's a girl who emailed us saying that, because Dane Cook had this bit about meaty pussies back in the day, and because of that,
inspired her.
Well, to get labiaplasty,
I think shamed her would be the proper terminology.
Yes.
Because the bit was anti-meaty pussy.
Wrong choice of words.
But it was, you know, it was a long time ago, and I feel like people weren't as vocal about, like, hey, shut the fuck up, who cares?
You know, some people saw as Comedy Central Presents and decided to pursue stand-up. Other people.
Yeah. But yeah, that's interesting. So 7. And do you remember your dick hurting at all?
No, I really don't.
Wow. They must have numbed it.
I guess.
Like a local anesthetic.
They must have.
What's the first, but I mean, like, when you're the babies, they don't. So, but I mean, when you're 7.
Were you getting boners at 7? Because some children get boners aroused very, very early.
I don't remember getting boners at 7.
Oh, okay. When did you first get boners?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 11, 12.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like the normal age. There's no normal age, but, like,
I have such
age.
I didn't even remember this vegetable thing you said earlier that I said 10 years ago.
Really?
I don't know when I started with boners.
But the first couple years I knew you, I would always remind you that that's what you said. I think that's why I retain this memory so
That's how I defined myself for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. But I'm glad you've made it to America. I'm glad your dick's okay.
Sorry, I'm just looking up penis local anesthetic, but I think you can definitely do that.
It's just any, right? Like, even like a tooth numbing thing.
Well, I just
like Origin.
I just sometimes the penis just seems so sensitive that sometimes I'm like, can you put a needle in it? Have you ever?
They had someone snort cocaine off my dick.
Now that's a bris I would attend.
And then the rabbi did the circumcision. Good party.
I can't wait.
LMFAO
came out. No
breakfast
platter. Everyone lost their appetite.
It is weird how much breakfast is at a bris, because you're like, who else is going to come? It seems out of
proportion. And they all come just to, I mean, I know it's a metaphor, but just to see a baby's little thick skin get cut off.
No, it's to see, it's like to see them. I don't know,
shine,
like a Jewish.
Well, so the one I went to was like pretty. It was like an Upper West Side, like Orthodox Jewish thing.
Yeah, ooh. One I went to was super religious too. I had to stand in a cage.
So a bunch of the people there, they're not even friends or family of the people. It's just literally a bunch of like super religious Jews who go to synagogue every morning. And so this isn't like a special service for the bris. They have the service, and then as part of the service they do the bris, and they did some other things for some other people that were there.
That's normal, because like when you get christened or whatever, a lot of times, like not a Catholic one, but like a Methodist one, that just happens as part of the service. Like in my the Methodist church I used to go to, that just happened.
Yeah.
In the middle, and it was the whole congregation was there.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I do it, it's going to be a doctor, not a freaking old man with a beard, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because, or maybe the doctor will be an old man with a beard, but with a PhD.
At least he's a doctor. Because
well.
What qualifies you to take a baby's foreskin?
Well,
off?
You know what? The one counter argument to that would be like, let's see the stats. How many circumcisions has this doctor done? How many has this rabbi done? I mean, the more experienced
one. Yeah, but are they botched circumcisions that the rabbi's done? Like, how do you even remove
a foreskin?
I think
it's pretty
easy. Cut it?
I'd want to know the stats.
Do you carve
it
like a pumpkin, but like a...
I didn't see, his back was to us, so he was blocking the actual procedure.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Wow. He's like, only me. I'm like, wow, okay. Wow. I knew that happened. I haven't thought about it in a while, and that's so odd. But I have respect for culture, but I don't know how I feel about it.
I just said, how many American male circumcisions have gone wrong? Oh wait, U.S. circumcision statistics, CIRP.org.
Jackpot.
I love the internet. Okay, let's see, circumcision incidents from 1971 to 2006. In 1999, the AAP issued yet another statement that said the data on potential benefits were insufficient. Okay, now I want to see like whose penis gets
Yeah, botched. Up. That's a TLC show.
But it,
oh, my circumcision was botched.
What's incidence rate? Oi.
And this is just the ones that admit
that's not right.
Yeah.
I'm just having a fun time by myself.
This is not really, these are really not the charts I was looking for.
My dick.
I think they're just saying who is getting circumcised. Yeah, because there's articles about how the industrialized world is now turning against circumcision. But, you know, we'll get into this in another episode.
I don't know if you know, like, you Corinne, you know how some guys I've dated, like, they really love their dick. Like, they really, how do you feel about your dick?
Like, I feel good about it. I can't say I have, like, an obsession or anything.
That's healthy.
Thank God.
That's healthy.
I have a dick. Guys it who serves like, its purpose.
Guys who are like, I love my dick. Like, it's like,
I've never dated a guy who said that.
I've dated guys who have alluded to that amount of love towards their dick. And I was just wondering how men feel about their dick. Some men, I feel like they hate it because it's like it makes them do things they don't want to do.
I'm sure if you have a healthy psychology, you probably treat it like every other part of your body that serves a purpose, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Do you sleep around? Well, when you're engaged.
I am engaged. Actually, I got engaged this past weekend. What a segue.
Mazel.
What a segue. And now to answer your question.
Yeah, were you a slut when you were single?
No, I was never like that crazy. I feel like...
I always felt like you were contained. Like you had a real handle on your sex and love life.
I always felt like you were smoking too much pot to really worry about it.
You know, that's I honestly really? Think I think a marijuana addiction kept me like off the streets.
Wait, you can be addicted to marijuana?
You know why people say that you can't? And let me tell you.
You can. I dated someone who 100% was.
You can. Well, so here's the thing, right? It's not I kind of stopped. Like I'm smoking a little bit now, but I basically stopped for all of January. I stopped last January.
January.
And as somebody who's been smoking like just about every day at varying degrees of like how much since like, I don't know, 14, 15.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a while.
Yeah. That's a
lot of years under your belt.
But at the same time, when I decided to stop, it was really no sweat to just stop once I made that decision.
Yeah.
And I think that first of all, effort. It's not physically addictive in the same way as certain other things, but like psychologically, you can do anything too much.
That's
you can
what
have
saying.
A psychological attachment to something. Yeah. You can like exercise too much and have an exercise addiction.
Oh yeah.
So like
you
in
can
that
eat
sense,
too much celery.
Yeah.
You
in that sense,
it happens. Because I'm like the very argument that pot is not addictive. If you believe that porn can be addictive, just cancels that out. But because what they're saying when people are like very pro pot and they're talking about that it's not addictive, they mean like it has no addictive ingredients the way a cigarette does.
You don't get
like
withdrawals.
Diet Coke
physical
does.
Withdrawals. But I think any human being is capable of forming an addiction out of anything because
you
they're searching for comfort.
You get certain symptoms. You know what's funny is it suppresses your dreams. That's one thing. So when you stop smoking, you start dreaming again a lot.
And that is insane.
It's
how
wild.
That works.
And you know what's also funny? I realized afterwards this is like an actual general psychological phenomenon. But what happened to me, it didn't happen this time around for some reason. But what would happen to me before when I would try to like not smoke is in my dreams, I would smoke and I'd be like, oh man, I fucked up. I was trying not to smoke. And then I'd wake up and be like, whew, I didn't smoke. And then I like was Googling for like, I was writing a joke and was Googling something else. And I Googled vegetarian meat dreams. And that's for like a whole other reason that I won't get into, but that's a thing I've learned is people try to go vegetarian and have dreams where they eat meat and they fuck up.
Wow, I haven't had any of those. That's
stressed.
Interesting.
Oh, okay, stress dreams.
So like I said, I didn't have that with weed this time, but apparently it's like a psychological thing, I guess, if you're trying to like focus and control yourself with something,
right?
You might dream that you fucked up.
During Passover, I once had
an American
dream about a dancing cheeseburger, though, many years ago.
Corinne.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's well, terrible. I mean, because I missed it so much.
Dude, cheeseburgers or dancing?
Cheeseburgers.
It was a Footloose Passover.
Yeah, it was like dancing. It was dancing and it was wearing white gloves.
Huh.
Thank you.
So you didn't fuck around a lot.
No, not a lot.
But I always thought you're like, you were cute, you had shit together, you were very funny, like, you know, but
I think it took me a little bit till after college to like really like be confident with women.
Yeah.
I had like a girlfriend in high school who I lost my virginity to. We lost our virginity to each other.
Oh,
I didn't sleep
fun.
With anybody until after her until I think maybe sophomore year of college. I might have not even slept with anybody in my freshman year. I'm not exactly sure. And then there was like one girl I met at work and we dated for a little while and like kind of here and there. And then after graduating, I, you know, started doing comedy, started hanging out more and things like that. But I never like slutted around or anything.
No,
like that.
For Got me, it. You always seem like anytime you would date someone, like you would always get bored with them really quickly, or that you just like, it's so crazy to me in the past couple of years how much things have turned around, because like the fact that you're engaged blows my mind. Like
really?
You were one of the last people I would thought not. And it's not because of anything about you. It's because of your feelings.
No,
and
I don't take offense.
Conversations
I've had
with you. I
just had a way
you.
Of like verbalizing it.
Yeah.
This, for starters, my fiance is the...
Is that fun to say?
Yeah, it's kind of fun to say.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's,
she's so cool. I love her. Hi, Megan.
Hey, I love her too.
Hey, Megan.
So she's the first person I said I love you to that I dated also.
Really?
Aside from
See,
my
girl, I mean, doesn't that tell... That's a little... That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm 33.
Okay.
So I said I love you to my girlfriend in high school, but like, that doesn't really count. You
well,
know?
That counts. That's young love.
It's young
you
love,
know,
I suppose.
It's not as encompassing of all the factors of life.
Right.
Whatever.
It's not mature.
Yeah. So wait. How? What were you, 31 when you started dating Megan, or a little earlier?
It's going to be... We're coming up on 3 years. So,
so 30. Okay. Were you ever anti-marriage in your life?
No, I was. Okay. I was never anti-marriage, and I always thought that eventually I probably would. I always wanted kids more than marriage.
Interesting.
It just felt like, yeah, for that exact that reason. It literally just felt like too
interesting.
I feel
like a lot of men feel that way, honestly.
Really?
Well,
part of it,
on their
part
behavior.
Of it is like a narcissistic, kids. Like, let me replicate myself.
Yeah. But also it's like, I can make a human?
Yeah. It just seems like too interesting of a thing not to do.
Yeah.
Like, out of all the shit that I could do, this is like a pretty like... unique and interesting thing that's it's just so much again information from like that life experience.
But knowing you and your views on things, I could also see you taking the approach, which is my approach. It's like there's too many people in the world, it's things aren't going great,
there's not too many
and I don't want to add
world.
To
there's too many
yes,
of the wrong people in the
there's
world.
There's too many idiots. There's way too many yeah. people.
No, but we're actually from what I understand is we're supposed to hit 9 billion and then go back down.
Yeah, well it's going down because people stopped having as many kids.
Yeah, as more Thank and more God. People get taken out of poverty and it because like yeah my grandma is one of like 12 because like most of them
Shit.
Don't survive.
Yeah, man.
They die in the war and
yeah.
whatever else.
Well, I mean, that's not
the
now,
farther
yeah.
you go back. Everyone had, you know, I have one sibling and then my, like, and then five siblings and then 10 and then 12 siblings. And
yeah.
you're like, Jesus Christ, you
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because then most of them would die.
Use a condom.
And you keep one for spare parts.
Yeah, exactly. You harvest the organs from
you know,
one.
Speaking of death, I want to bring this up because it's too funny of a thing not to mention, even though it's not directly relevant. But so I mentioned before my grandfather had another family because he remarried.
Yeah, well, I was
going to
ask you
over.
About that. I forgot.
But my grandfather, prior to him, who I never met, he died a year before I was born, died from drinking horse milk in Uzbekistan.
Horses? What?
Whoa.
So horses are mammals.
Right, of
horses
course.
Can
so
have
female
milk,
horses obviously have milk.
Which also
they have to
like,
feed
blew
their
my
cat,
mind though. When I first realized that, because you don't really think about horses in that kind of way.
Yeah, I'm going to go milk my horse.
Yeah, but they drank it. And like during the war, I guess he was sent over there and they didn't pasteurize it. And he got some sort of bacteria and it like, took like 20 years to kill him. It like paralyzed him. It was like a
Whoa!
slow agonizing.
I thought
slow
it was just
horse
like,
milk death.
You had a horse milk on Friday. By Monday,
and
you're not
the that
to
horse
work.
Is like, you took my milk. Bam.
Yeah, and then he kicks you or she
yeah
obviously.
And then that's how the Clydesdale takes you out.
But 20 years, that's a long death sentence.
Yeah, I just had to go on that little a little tangent. It's just
well,
too,
it's a little
it's
fun
too,
little fact.
I know.
It's so fucking gross, honestly. Ugh.
Milk is milk.
I don't like it.
I was reading some of the you'd sent us an email just about like some stories and stuff about you, and you're talking about this one.
Well, I want him to tell the engagement story.
Oh yeah.
Well, so
because I didn't hear it yet.
I feel weird about it only because I didn't do it for content, but it's going to sound like I'm an asshole a little bit.
Well,
so,
unfortunately,
long
life can be funny. Your life unfolds
yeah.
in a funny way.
Long story short,
Megan
I proposed twice because I thought it would be fun and charming to do it at a Costco. And
did you run this idea by anyone? Because you certainly didn't run it by me.
I
knew
ran
that you were thinking about it.
I ran it by a few people. So I had the ring for like 3 months.
Yeah, because you had mentioned it to me a while ago.
Yeah,
because
we
how did you pick it? What's that?
Well, we openly started talking about marriage at a certain point. It wasn't
nice.
Like a surprise or anything like that.
Yeah,
we,
that's
you know,
wise.
At a certain point, you're like trying to plan a life together, you know?
Yeah.
And so I figured once we started doing that I would like send her images and we'd go back and forth. And so I hung out onto it for a while because I still wanted to kind of catch her off guard a little bit. So I didn't want to just get the ring and then do it. And so I had it. And then we had a trip to California to visit her family. And she told me she didn't want it in front of friends or family. She's
wise.
Not like that kind of person.
Thank God.
She's
I love her. Yeah. I love her more
and
more.
She's not a silly goose.
She's a good yin to my yang, if you will. And so I actually took the ring with me to California if there was like a nice moment to do it. We were in Sonoma.
It's always good to travel as much as possible with expensive jewelry.
I know. I was sweating it a little bit. And then I took it and I brought it back. I didn't do it there because there wasn't like a clear time to do it. And then
that would give me anxiety up the ass.
I just thought Costco is like, we both like going.
I love Costco. To be honest, Costco is one of the most magical places. Next to the Container Store.
Dude.
It's fucking amazing.
I can go off here. When they had those synagogue shootings earlier, like, let me tell you, like, if they shot up a Costco, I would be sitting Shiva for a month. Like, that's what would really take me out.
I'm here as a Jewish refugee. You made me feel unsafe at Costco?
Yeah. But I'm a Costco refugee.
Costco's a safe haven.
I love it. I mean, especially New York.
Sanctuary.
The one in Harlem.
We'll get you new sponsorship. Yeah. But I thought I would do it, and I did it in the like produce egg section.
Interesting.
Because as you know, I love eggs.
Yeah.
I flip omelets on my Instagram.
You do.
Yeah.
And so, like, part of my like speech that she basically tuned out for was like, you know, I love you more than I love eggs.
Were you smiling like an asshole when you did this?
No, I was totally sincere, and I had our friend Justin Perez hiding, filming with his phone. He's the only one I told that I would be there. And
Justin's not going to tell you to not do that.
Yeah,
Justin's going to egg you on.
You know, this is a bit more than Justin Perez.
I told a few people. They showed some skepticism. But I...
Yeah, no shit.
But I thought it... You know,
it's uniquely you.
It's one of those like domesticated things too where like it's like fun doing this thing with this person that you'll be doing for a long time.
Yeah, look, we're already boring.
Yeah. Well,
let's make grocery shopping
boring.
Fun.
It makes it.
I understand what you're doing with
Grocery shopping with a boyfriend or girl. Like that is a nice.
But that's
exactly.
You want it to be. You see some people fucking shouting at each other in the aisles of the store, and you're like Jesus,
we're never
going to
be
nightmare.
Them, honey.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think, you'd hope so. And she said yes at that time as well.
Was she shocked? Because Costco.
She thought
I really
was joking at first because the box that it was in, I had it still wrapped in the paper because I didn't want the box to get scratched up. So like she saw I got down on my one knee and I took it out, but she saw it had the paper. She's like, oh, good, he's joking. And then I take it out of it. And so she told me all this afterwards. At the time, she like commented how she loved the ring and she said yes. But then she was a little bit quiet afterwards and I could tell something was off. And then she didn't want to talk about it at the Costco. And then on the ride home, she was like, you know, I just feel weird like telling my mom it was at Costco and like that kind of stuff.
Now, so you didn't project that far into the future of like imagining her telling her mom, where were you at? A Costco.
You know, okay, so here's the other thing.
Did other people gather around? Like, how big of a, like, that much of a, did you have, like, the free sample guys?
I'll show you the video, and there's literally one other guy in the egg produce section that's just watching and then goes,
that's a great scene for a movie.
Yeah.
I know you're not looking for content,
and then
but
they
I like it.
Mom.
I must repeat, I am not looking for content. So afterwards, we're riding back, and I look up the bar where we had our first date, closed. I look up the bar where we had our second date. Closed.
Really?
Hot Bird in Fort Greene.
Oh, I didn't know Hot Bird
closed.
Was closed.
And then Russian Tea Room in Williamsburg.
Oh, I was like,
closed.
The Russian
I knew
tea
that was
closed.
There's another Russian Tea Room, though.
57th Street one.
So we went to this other, like, really nice, like, bar restaurant near us. It actually had, like, live Irish music as, like, just by chance. And then
Is that something you guys enjoy together, or?
It's nice. Well, it's not, like, yeah, it's not cartoonish. It was just, like, three guys playing live guitar and violin, and it was nice.
Irish music is
It was just a nice atmosphere and a good way to juxtapose doing it at the egg section of Costco.
Yeah.
So and then she like got teary eyed and it was like a much more like, okay, this is the warm emotional reaction that feels like I didn't fuck up.
So wait, did you take the ring back and get that on your knee again?
Uh-huh.
Wait, how'd you take the ring off her finger while she was sleeping?
No, I literally asked for it back on the drive from. I literally did it right afterwards. It was right after Costco.
So she knew it was coming again?
Yes.
So when you felt like the vibe wasn't, there was something off, that's when you were like, give me that ring back real quick.
Yeah, I would need an additional ring.
Yeah, I'd be like, bitch, put it on the other hand.
She was kind of quiet, and I was like, do you want me to do this over? And she was like, I don't want to talk about it, not at Costco. And then she walked away for a little bit, and then she came back,
and she said,
yeah, I do want you to do it over. So I did it over.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, glad you worked that out, and everyone's happy now.
Yes.
That's
everyone's
sweet.
Good. It's been posted on Facebook. The relatives have been called.
Oh, I got a text, so I feel happy that you let me know.
I did.
I feel
well,
like our
friendship
is deep.
I texted because at first we weren't even going to post about it, and then she was like, "I guess I will post." So when we weren't going
to
post,
you
I was
have
like,
to, and also like it's easier because then just everyone knows in one fell swoop.
Yeah, I think you text the people that you're close with. But then,
I'll tell
you
what, though, we called my parents, and their immediate reaction. They said, so my parents love her. They were waiting. My dad's been like honestly like pretty annoying about it.
About you proposing to her?
Yeah, to the point where I had to be like, please stop talking about it. Sometimes she's on the phone or like she uses my iPad and my texts pop up on there.
How often would he talk about it?
Like every time, like very often. Yeah, at a certain point, he starts like kind of, you know, they want grandkids and all that kind of shit.
Okay.
But I called them and they're like, congratulations, your cousin's pregnant. And just one up me.
That's like a Jewish parent 101 like phone call.
Seriously. They're not normally the type to do that. So I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Well,
we're really happy for you, and I don't care if you ever make a baby.
Thank you.
I love you both.
I care. I want one.
Yeah. Did you talk about
it? Yeah. Hopefully everything works. Of course. All this stuff. If everything works.
Well, you never know until you try.
It's true.
And also, the odds of having a miscarriage are very high, and it's very normal to have a miscarriage.
Yeah, actually, that's a good thing
to bring
up. You
should have mentioned that in the proposal.
I know. I love you, and the statistics are 1 in 4.
You should have turned her down worry about
to a food
it.
Line.
You know, that really is a thing that people should talk about, because I didn't know that until very recently, and my mom had 2 before me and 2 after me, I believe.
My mom had like 3 in between my brother and I.
Yep, they told her she couldn't. She had...
I'll text my mom now. How many miscarriages?
What's it called? Like something pregnant.
Endometriosis. Oh, endoscopic.
Where it was in one of her tubes.
Oh yeah.
It was like,
that's not good.
That
reason, deadly.
Yeah. So you know, assuming everything functions properly.
Oof. Fallopian. Yeah. That's...
No. I'm just thinking about a small thing stuck in one of my tubes, and it hurts.
Yeah, it's not
my
good.
Inside.
Hurts
my
just
pee
thinking
tube.
About it.
Owie. I'm curious. Like, how long have you been dating?
3 years.
It'll be about 3 years.
3 years. Okay. Yeah. And did you guys discuss part when you discussed the marriage thing? Did you discuss like, do you want kids? And she said yes.
We've discussed it all throughout the relationship. You
know,
you have even your
you
first couple dates where you're talking about that kind
it,
of stuff.
Yeah,
before
so
I get exclusive
weird. With somebody, I'm like, do you want kids? Because if it's a hard no,
I mean,
I'm
it's
not
a big
put
thing. I know
this.
A lot of couples who are good couples, and that fundamental thing kind of like eventually destroyed the relationship.
It does. It was a big part with me, and like with Frank dumping me. That was a big reason because he was just like wanted kids, like. And I like soon, and I was like, I don't know if I want kids ever.
Well, now he's got one.
So yeah, he does have one.
Yeah.
But like, wait. So you've been flip flopping.
Congrats,
you decide you definitely want.
Yeah, now I want
kids.
One.
Oh, was this from the Mexican retreat?
Yeah, it was the Mexican yoga retreat. I was meditating a lot on
it. You realized you wanted kids,
but also I've been researching childhood trauma a lot. I'm reading books. I'm going to meetings. Like I know about secure attachments with infants now. Like I'm studying this shit. Not on purpose. I just am.
No, but that's good.
And I feel like I can put a very well-functioning human being into the world that will do a lot of
good.
That's the only reason why I'm like, oh, it's a bummer that I'm not putting a kid, because that kid
would
be aces.
Yeah, you'd be a great kid. Yeah,
I can, like, a good Lego set. I can make it real nice.
Yeah.
I was in Mexico, actually. I was going to tell you guys about this, because I got drugged at a strip club in Mexico, in Cancun.
Yeah, now that sucks. Were you roofied? How were you drugged? How
so
did
this
you know?
Is what we think. So I didn't know at first. So I didn't drink all month. So this was my first day drinking.
Oh no!
And it was
we're
and it was
the ass.
It was 4 of us in Cancun, and we go
dudes.
Yeah, it was a bachelor party.
Okay.
And so we go to this strip club, and we drank a decent amount. We were getting like shots and stuff like that. So it was hard for me to know, right? But my buddy. Afterward, it just felt like we were like a little bit more drunk and trashed and like finding our way back, and like everything just felt like weird. And then the next day he was like, yo, we were drugged. I was like, maybe we were just drunk. Like, you just don't want to like take responsibility for going to a strip club. He's like, no.
It's a real Boris answer.
You know, doubt and shaming.
Yeah.
So
the American way.
I was slut shaming my friend.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I've been drugged before. Like, trust me. And I was like, yeah, I still don't know. I think you might be avoiding responsibility here. And so I was like 50-50 on it. And then the next day, a bunch more dudes fly in to meet us. And they're all like, we want to go to the strip club. And I was like, I'm not going back to that strip club. So me and like 3 of us that went the previous night were like, we're not going. So we didn't go. And oh, The Bachelor was like, I'm going to go, but I'll chaperone. And I'm not going to, like, I'm just going to make sure everyone's okay.
Yeah.
So they went for only an hour and a half. We're on WhatsApp texting the whole time to make sure
wow,
they're okay.
Wow, this is a rigid strip club field
so
trip.
They, it was the second day. It needed to be. So they come back, and he's still got his cup, and he's like, my buddy's a pharmacist. He's like 100%. They probably crushed Xanax or something into the beers.
Oh,
he's like,
that's a beer I'd want to
have. He's like, I didn't even finish my one beer, and they open it in front of you. They open the bottle in front of you, but somehow they like fake opening it, whatever.
Yeah.
And then of course we look at Yelp the next day and they're like, yeah, don't do this. They're all owned by the cartels and they drug you and like.
Wait, so they spend more money.
And yeah, they like charge your credit card.
So I was like, they drug you, but they don't fuck you. They don't kidnap you. What do they
do? For money, yeah.
Just for money? Xannies make you want to spend more?
Well, they're just like charging.
And you're not paying attention. You're signing. You can barely read
exactly,
the paper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also I bet some like dudes in Cancun might be like, assholes at a strip club, and maybe you might want them to be a little more docile so that they're not starting shit, or if you're trying to fuck them over and
if we
like,
drug our patrons they won't throw coins at the strippers. Yeah,
but it
yeah,
makes
yeah,
you think that like, you know, I strip clubs aren't up, great for women, but you know they're not safe for guys either.
Oh boy. We really feel bad.
Wait,
for
are
you,
they are you're people driving to that, like, I mean, because it seems like they're
you
like,
you cab it.
No, it was walking distance from the resort, but we somehow okay, there was a cab involved on the way back. But yeah, you're vulnerable.
You're
still
up,
as a dude, because like, you can't be horny and on guard at the same time.
Well, look,
you know
if you
what I
drug
mean,
drug somebody, yeah, that's true.
You have to choose eventually.
If you drug somebody, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be Andre the Giant. You're going to be incapacitated.
Right.
That's crazy.
You might take a little more drugs to get drugged.
Right. Well, way more. But
I mean,
also,
is that the
that's
only strip club? Like, why did you have to go back to that one?
I feel like
that,
your
that
friend
was the
really
one in the
wanted
area,
to make sure.
But it's all
that he
cartel
got
shit around there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they maybe it was more for the scientific experiment of it.
Oh, Jesus
take
Christ.
It back and do a lab kit at the hotel.
Now, with strip clubs, it's always interesting to me with couples. Like, some couples, the wife doesn't like when the husband goes to a strip club or girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever the fuck. But, like, do you, like, okay, in your relationship, for example, did you... Do you even say it, or you just go, and who gives a fuck? Like, is there jealousy
well,
there?
No.
What's that dynamic?
We trust each other, for sure. I mean, yeah, that's part of the reason I've had other relationships. And this is part of, like I said, I dated somebody for, like, 7-8 months. I dated somebody, a couple other relationships that are, like, 3 or 4. Mostly everything else, like I told you.
Yeah.
Like, 2 weeks with somebody, and I know that this is not the person that I want to end up with.
Yeah.
I've only met, like, 1 or 2 other people you've dated besides Megan. And,
exactly.
Like, Megan definitely has been, like, and she comes to a lot of shows, and I'm like, I'm always like, God bless you, Megan, because you've heard these jokes of mine even at this point, like,
very
17
supportive
times.
Not as much now. Not,
she's over it a little.
But that always
cannot
happens.
Blame her
that
at
always
all.
Happens.
Well, yeah, it loses the luster.
And she was a comedy fan before then. She, her
okay,
and her friends used to go to a lot of shows and mm-hmm, stuff like that.
How'd you meet her?
We met on Coffee Meets Bagel. She's the only person I met off of there. She's the first date I had
one?
On there.
I mean,
well, from my experience,
engaged.
100% of the
yes,
time,
yes,
you meet the love of your life.
Things are different for men, Boris.
You yeah, gotta do a commercial.
That's great.
That's great.
I know. They owe me. I'm doing too many plugs now between Coffee Meets Bagel and Costco.
Yeah, because that's like one of the... That's one I've never even downloaded. I think just because I hate the name of it so
they're
much.
They're all owned by the same like parent company, too.
Oh, really?
It's all like one company that owns all of those.
Mm. It's like Pornhub.
They're like, we're not really sure what we're doing, so we'll do a couple takes on this.
Yeah.
And hopefully you two
we'll
assholes
compare you
will
to
meet
fish
each other.
Well, they
we'll
just narrow
the
demographics.
The
they got the Jew one, the one for
yeah,
black people, the
yeah,
one for
farmers meet.
Yeah, there's even things there like a Trump supporters one.
Yeah, there is.
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because sometimes you just don't want to be shamed for your political beliefs, even though you should. Yeah.
So we're wrapping up, but what do you have? Like, what's your? And I know this is fun to go from engagement. Like, what's your craziest sex story of all time?
You know, I think the most interesting one. I don't have anything that's like insane, but the most interesting one when I was 20, me and 3 friends backpacked Europe, and
ooh,
in Prague, which is a beautiful city. I think it's not what it was. Back then it was like super cheap. The exchange rate was crazy. We went to this like salsa club. Literally met I brought a guitar and we would like play in the squares and like meet people that way. And we met this like
wow,
one-armed Israeli poet who took us to like this weird underground
amazing
club.
What?
And I was 20 and I met this 32-year-old teacher from Spain.
Ooh.
And we both barely spoke each other's languages.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
We were both staying in hostels with friends.
Difference.
So when we left the place, we like started hooking up on the dance floor and then we leave and we're walking and we're both like, I'm like, we can't go back to my hostel. There's a bunch of people there. She's like, we can't go back to my hostel. There's a bunch of people there.
Do it in the alley.
So we went Yeah, we went. There's a like a river that flows through the center of Prague, and there's a park, and we go in the grass in the bushes, and
so
we start fucking in the bushes. And so I have my guitar, and it's
like,
say,
where's
within,
your guitar?
So I had, it was like a travel little baby Taylor, and I had it within my peripheral, and she put her purse down, and as we're fucking,
she should have kept her
at
purse
a certain
she
point,
fucks.
She goes, "My purse." And we go, and her purse is missing. So I get off of her, and I'm like, oh, shit, we got to find this.
Remove your dick?
Yeah, so I remove myself from inside her, and we go to look for this purse.
Now, are you still erect while you're looking for a purse? Because you didn't come yet.
I think it probably killed the erection pretty
quickly.
Yeah,
the erections go down pretty fast
sometimes.
Honestly,
as a 20-year-old with a little bit less life experience, I was so impressed with how cool and collected she was the whole time, right? And so we're going, and like three benches down is her purse.
Oh.
And we look, and they took her cash, they took some shit, they left her ID, and they left a camera with which they took a photo of us fucking and put it back in the purse.
Is this a digital camera or like a disposable?
It was like one of those old school, like early digital cameras. So we saw right away, and she has a photo of my hairy ass in the bushes to
I
this
mean,
day,
those
possibly.
Are thieves with a sense of humor.
Truly, you gotta respect it a little
bit.
Yeah.
What, and then did you start fucking again or no?
I think at that point it was like 4 a.m. and no, I think I just
like where do you go from there?
Yeah. I remember we were both like relatively drunk. I walked her back to her hostel, dropped her off, and probably spent an hour and a half till like 6:30 a.m. wandering Prague, finding my way back. I had to walk back to the train station and from there retreat because I was by myself.
Oh
no,
my
cell
God.
Phones, nothing
just
like
your guitar.
That. Just just my guitar wandering around Prague at like 5 a.m. and finally got back to my hostel. There was like mud on my pants, on the knees and stuff.
Bro, where were you?
Well, my friends are all like, tell us you at least got laid. And I was like, thumbs up.
Did you ask the girl to email you the picture?
I have no
you never
content.
Never spoke
again.
To her again?
That's romantic.
Yeah, I think
I like
with
that.
Like a story like that, you just got to leave it because it's never going to get more interesting.
And then if I ever get famous, I hope that photo of my ass pops up.
She's selling it to the
revenge
paper.
Porn.
You know, honestly.
But you won't care.
Put it out there, you know. Whatever it does for you, I hope it helps.
She still masturbates to it to this day.
Yeah.
She has to be on a bench.
Ugh, Boris.
Well,
thanks
she'd
for
be 42 today. Yeah, thank you so much for having
today's
me.
Today's her birthday?
No, just that, like in these days. In modern times.
I remember nothing. I don't remember the vegetable thing I said.
Wow, you guys were intimate.
But
birthday
I remember
was
her birthday.
February. Yeah. Where can we find you, Boris Hyken?
You can find me at TheBorisK on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook or Boris Hyken. KHAYKIN.
I actually finally know from memory how to spell your name. It only took, you know, what, a decade of friendship.
Because I don't correct people because it's the worst. They added it there because it's like Hyken in Russian. It's like a kind of a hard H.
Hyken.
Yeah.
I love it. Boris is very funny. You can go see him do stand-up.
Yes, go see
him. My calendar's on my site, all that. I announce it all on the social medias.
And you're very funny on your social media, too.
Thank you.
Very funny follow.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We will talk to you next Friday. Before I met you, my life was a fucking hot mess. Now I wake up and feel my face up on your heart chest. Feels like I'm dreaming, took a pill that I can't digest. And you can wake me, boy, I know you won't forsake me, boy. I can't get you out of my mind. I want you all. Get you out of my mind. I wonder when I'll make you mine. And